what's fun about this exercise, enterprise, is one commits oneself to this dream of conversation.
I mean, that's how it would be if we did, like, a live show.
Well, even what we're doing, and then...
Yeah.
And then as a reward, we get to... Why is there a door open?
Yes, Steve, why is there a door open?
Okay. I mean, as long as nobody falls out, that's...
Oh, no, Jerry.
Jerry. Jerry rigging.
Gerrymandering.
Gerrymander.
Gerrymander.
Fallout Boy.
Name one member of Fallout Boy.
Panic at the Disco.
That's a different band, but go off.
Episode 8, Coping Through It, Yo. In this episode, your hosts, Steve and Mal, hurtle from point A to point B while contemplating the anxiety of emotional support dogs, the tension available during customs inspection, and the benefits of creating stupid art and trying to make others happy. Strap in for the ride to Redacted. Please be advised that there are occasional cuss words in these episodes, so now you know.
Fallout Boy never did a song called Panic at the Disco?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a promising beginning for this ride. We might... This could be the one where we don't find anything.
Well, you know what? They can't all be winners.
Right. Speaking of...
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, when I was visiting my mom, I passed... On the turnpike. So there's this thing. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called the American Dream. It's like an amusement park. Like right off, right alongside the turnpike.
Okay.
And it's got a huge Ferris wheel that I've never seen move. And I've never seen anyone on it.
Okay.
But it's there.
It's okay. Just a sculpture.
Well, whatever. Very big sculpture. And there's, like, big building, and I think there's, like, water slides or whatever inside. I've been tempted to just, like, turn off and go in and, like, check it out. And they have this huge electronic sort of colorful billboard that changes, you know, different ads and stuff. And one of the ads, as I was passing yesterday, said, "Ride into the dream."
Uh-huh, into okay. Redacted.
Right, right.
Should we take a picture
I probably should at some point.
Plagiarize that shit.
Well, so here's the thing. But then I would say within a second and a half of that, I passed a billboard that was black background and white lettering. And it said, like right after saying ride into the dreams, I passed this. It said, injuredinnj.com.
Injuries?
Yeah, and I was thinking, huh, that's an interesting, like, sequence.
Yeah.
I don't know what to
ride
make of it.
Ride into the dream and then sue the dream into the ground.
Ride into the dream and then prepared for it to become a fucking nightmare. Look at this.
You might have...
Interweaving.
Yeah, that was
terrible. Yeah, but I saw him coming and he saw me coming. We were equally at fault.
Yeah.
And we didn't hit each other because we were not zipping. We're not taking cocaine. I've never taken cocaine, just for the record.
Me neither.
Taken. Used.
Snorted.
Inhaled.
Yeah.
Snorted, yes, in fact.
I have no interest in it.
Yeah, no. I can get manic enough without that shit. Just some sugar. A couple of gummy bears. That's all I need.
Okay, I'm pretty crazy up in here.
Even a hot chocolate.
I've been there when other people have been taking cocaine.
Yeah, okay. I'm not surprised. I don't know if I've been there, but I, you know, I used to work in film and video production. The head of one of the companies I work for, who shall remain nameless, definitely ran pretty hot and cold as a result of doing you know what. And also, the art director at another place that I worked at that will remain nameless, definitely. But I never witnessed the actual snorting.
Devil's dandruff.
Right. What, devil's dandruff?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've witnessed the snorting.
Yeah, when I was in Ireland, and I was a little paranoid because, you know, when you're going between countries, when you're, like, flying back, they'll, like, swab your suitcase and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but they'll randomly pull you in it. And it happened to me.
Yeah.
It has happened to me. And so I was like, yeah, just keep it away from me. Like, and I didn't want to do it anyway, but I was also like, also don't get it near me. I don't want, like, dogs to sniff my luggage and be like...
What in this slightly paranoid scenario, but not really, would the dogs have discovered some grains of coke because you had been in contact with... Someone who had been in contact with it?
Maybe.
This was your fear.
Yeah, this is my fear.
Maybe there's a residue.
Or just that, you know.
The dogs will know.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that they would sniff it out or whatever.
They can smell, if they can smell fear, they can probably smell.
I think they're supposed to actually sniff bombs, but.
Right.
But there's probably drug ones.
Yeah, there's drug sniffing dogs, for sure.
Do you think that the drug ones and the bomb ones are like rival.
Yeah.
Rival football teams
or something? If they're anything like people, then they have no use for each other.
But they're not, they're dogs. You think they're just like, oh, a dog.
But I mean, our dog.
Another dog with a job.
maybe.
Do you think bomb sniffing dogs and like seeing eye dogs are like they give each other the nod, like the little
working here?
Yeah. Well, there's emotional support dogs that seem like so incredibly anxious and like I'm just like, do seeing eye dogs see those dogs and be like,
secondary trauma.
Yeah.
For all that emotionality that they have to support.
Well, they're humans trauma dump on them, so.
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder if there's such a thing as a comfort reptile.
Oh, I'm sure. I think snakes give good hugs, so.
You're sometimes too good.
Yes. That's the problem. Yeah. There's a fine line there.
Yeah. It's like, okay, all right, let's dial it down.
We've moved from hugging to constricting, and now we need to de-escalate.
I'm feeling a little constricted in this relationship.
Yes, a little claustrophobic.
I get that.
Yeah.
All right, here's the thing. I think we have a possible beginning of a thread. A thread to somewhere.
Maybe that's against the logos of our show.
Well, a thread to nowhere. In any event, I think we can agree that we're in favor of going somewhere.
Right, but
zeros are potentially ones.
Yes, but the destination must by design be hidden.
It has to be discovered organically. Yes. Yes. Well, okay, so, but that's what I'm doing now. It's hidden, but I think I'm spotting something. When you said you were worried about that re-entry from Ireland.
Yeah.
On account of potential...
Cocaine.
Yeah, issues with drug-sniffing dogs. I'm reminded of... So I was in college, and I took a trip across country with some older classmates. They were seniors. I was like a sophomore, I think. And we drove across country, and at one point we dipped down into Mexico. I probably told you this. And this is related to your Ireland. Okay then. Almost collision there, up ahead. So, we dipped down into Mexico, you know, by car, and I had in the trunk a large, unmarked plastic jar container, sort of semi-opaque, full of unmarked pills. And the reason I had those was that my mother then was into homeopathic medicine. And so these, I think, I'm fairly sure they just had, like, you know, cornstarch and blah, blah, blah. They were, like, probably placebos. They did nothing for me. I had pretty bad allergies in those days. So my mom thought it would be good if I got into some homeopathic, you know, goodness. So I ended up, you know, taking this big jar of plain white unmarked pills. So the federales, which is what they call them in Mexico, the, you know, government people who inspect you when you come in, pulled us over, opened the trunk, spotted the pills, and I mean, in their sort of stone-faced federales way, but internally you could tell their eyes were lighting up. It was like, oh man, we have got this guy. And so they questioned me, and I put it to, you know, imagine trying to communicate in a language which back then I didn't know anything of. They were like, what are these? And I was like, trying to communicate, which I barely understood myself, these are homeopathic medicine. And there's they're like, in Spanish, you could see them kind of thinking and saying, what now? So the jar ended up, I think, getting confiscated, and it made its way to whoever tested them and found it's like, oh, they're like sugar pills. And we got into Mexico, but it was a tense moment. So how does that relate to your, well, so what is implicit in all this?
If you want to get really real and dark, it's like, it doesn't matter if you've done anything wrong or not. If you're afraid, even if you haven't done anything wrong, it's like the system is broken.
Yeah.
The system is more meant to inspire fear than safety.
Yeah. So how are things going lately with your circle of friends and stuff and the community, the queer community? Are people getting over being, the initial trauma of the inauguration? How are people doing?
Or people? I mean, maybe the initial trauma a little bit, but, like, I don't know, my friend just texted me saying that she's going to go to a rally to protect trans kids and people, because there's all this legislation that's, you know, starting to pass and about to go to the courts and whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it's not good. I mean, I live in a redacted, and I'm lucky too.
Right.
Because it's better there than it is elsewhere.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
I mean, I guess there are pockets throughout the country.
Yes.
But let's face it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be pockets.
Of course it shouldn't.
It should be the whole damn place.
Yeah.
It just
dog eat dog versus cooperation.
Exactly. Exactly. Put that in the, I'll put that in the show notes. I don't know if that'll matter. Dog eat dog versus cooperation. But yeah, so I'm seeing a theme here, which is anxiety. So the like communal widespread. As I may have mentioned, the anxiety level among the sort of immigrant community, like my clients and others, it's pretty high now, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. You know, so I've had to, like, do what I can to, like, calm people down. You know, there's a limit to how much I can, but I definitely try, you know, because I can, you can just feel, I mean, it's in what they say, but, you know, you can tell people are pretty anxious, you know, not knowing what's coming. And there's a callback here to ride into the dream injured in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned this, but last year I published on AO3 128,000 words, and right now, that was last year. Right now in January, I think I'm up to like 55,000 words published on AO3. So I'm like almost halfway through the same amount of writing that I did across all of last year in the first month of this year.
Wow.
So
you are cranking it out.
Yes. When I say coping, I'm like hitting that coping mechanism like it's going to save my fucking life, you know?
Right. Coping.
Coping.
Coping. Yeah, I mean, listeners will be impressed knowing this.
They should be.
That you're able to also do some podcast stuff.
Yes, like, I make time in my busy schedule to podcast.
Yeah,
busy schedule of writing fan fiction.
Yeah, okay. And hopefully creating some art in the near future.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, I love your, I've said this before, I need to say it again. Your snail with the tea cozy.
Yeah.
That is now Mom's screensaver.
I know. I sent her that, and then I sent her this, like, beautiful pencil drawing that I did. Because I don't usually do pencil drawings without, like, lining them. But I was like, no, this has to be a pencil drawing. Of this long-necked, like, kind of stork harpy with holding an eel in its beak, and it's like a human face wearing a bird mask and holding the eel in the beak of the mask. And I was very proud of this drawing. And she's like, but the snail with the cozy on its shell. She's like, that is better. And I think it's partially because she was like, hey, could you draw a snail wearing a little cozy? And I, like, within a couple of hours sent her this finished thing, and she was like, and it's perfect. And I love him.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
She's emotionally connected to him.
Yeah. It's almost too good. Making it harder for storks with eels everywhere.
That's the thing. I mean, sometimes you'll draw something dumb, and it's just like a silly idea, and people like latch onto it in a major way, and you're like, but the thing I spent hours on, and it's like, no. The stupid thing, you know?
The stupid thing I banged out.
And that's, I think, a great endorsement for making stupid art. Just fucking do
Which
it.
Which I think we're doing as we speak.
Yes.
Possibly, sometimes.
Like, that's something I very much try and do in my art. When I was studying abroad, they would bring guest artists in, and they had this pair of Israeli artists come in to show us their work. And first of all, they were hardcore communists. Like, the wallpaper of their laptop, when they projected it up on the big projector at the front of the lecture hall, was a tiled background of just, like, the communists, like, hammer and sickle on a red background. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's pretty hardcore. They also had a baby with them that they were sort of passing back and forth. I assume the baby belonged to at least one of them. I was unclear if they were a couple. And there are these two Israelis. And so they showed us their work, and I loved it. I thought it was so funny and fresh and great. Like, you know, one of the things that they did was they made an interpretive dance based on the Communist Manifesto and taught it to a group of, like, six college students, and then had them dress up like asparagus and perform this interpretive dance based on the Communist Manifesto. I thought that was the funniest thing I had ever fucking heard.
I think of all of that, it's the word asparagus that
yes.
just jumps out at me.
Yeah. The rest of it, you're like, what? Mm-hmm.
Asparagus?
Yeah. Okay. And so they...
That's an imitation of a very
small car. That was a smart
car.
A squishy car.
Squishy car.
We call them squishy cars. Right. So... Asparagus.
A very brief digression, but yeah.
Whenever they were visiting artists, we had the option to ask them to come to our studios and just like meet with us, And so I was like, yes, of course I want to meet with these people. They've made basically the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I had just sort of started, like, I had been drawing comics and cartooning probably since I was, like, a child. Like I still have some of my old, very, like, Garfield derivative kind of comics. Even some Dilbert ones that had, like, office humor, despite the fact that I was probably about 10. You know, like, I've been making comics and drawing and cartooning for a very long time. But also, so this was in college, and I was just sort of starting to come into my own sort of cartooning style, the style that I've been developing since then, and, like, still draw, like, in that style a lot. Like, that's sort of where I've found my comfort zone. And I was showing this person, it was one of the two people in the pair of artists. They this one did not have the baby with them, so I assumed they were, the baby was with the other person. And I was showing them Maude, my character, who's a 77-year-old career magician's girl. So she, like, stands on the stage and, like, gestures beguilingly as the magician brings out the, like, right, you know, the saw and the big box, and then she climbs inside. All that kind of stuff.
I remember Maude.
Well, yes. But I had just, you know, drawn my very first drawings of this character. And so I showed them to this artist, and they were, like, kind of dismissive. They were like, oh, what is this? Is this, like, anime? And that's a thing that cartoonists, young cartoonists, will get a lot. And it can be kind of irritating because anime is just a type of Japanese, it's just Japanese animation. And it's, like, kind of derivative to just be like, is this anime? It's like, it's, well, it's a drawing. So, like, no? Like, can you engage with the thing at its own level rather than trying to lump it under some other category?
Right.
But anyway, so I was like, no. And they were like, you know, so tell me about your art or whatever. And I was like, well, I really want to make art that makes people happy. Like, I was like, this is so silly and great. And, like, you know, I just want to make something that makes people happy. And this person looked me dead in the eye and said, why? And I was at such a loss to try and explain to this person why making people happy was an end goal in and of itself, and I didn't need a reason to want to make people happy. I was gobsmacked. I was like, oh my God, this person, like a monkey banging away at a typewriter and writing the works of Hamlet by accident, just by pure random happenstance, has happened to make the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And they have no sense of humor. They don't even know what they've made. This person has, like, absolutely no sense of humor. And I was floored by this.
Wow.
So, like, yeah. Since then, I've made, like, so much art that's just funny to me. And it's great. You know, it makes me happy. I'm never happier than when I'm making something stupid. Like, I'm, like, giggling to myself as I make, like, the dumbest shit you've ever seen in your life. And it's, like, good, you know? That keeps me doing art, you know? I think if you take yourself too seriously and you do too many serious projects and you don't do anything stupid, like, it's boring, you know? I've seen these many, many, many years ago. I saw these, like, beautiful sort of, you know, oil painting style. I think they were digital paintings, but like beautifully lit, like sort of moody paintings of like the dwarves from the Hobbit movies,
mm-hmm.
Holding like Sesame Street puppets. Just these hyper realistic, and that's obviously stuck with me. And it's like, yeah, that's the shit you should be doing. If you can do hyper realistic stuff, why limit yourself to just like sad, demure portraiture when you could add Muppets into it?
I love it.
You know?
So this brings me to a question I have, which is us being us.
Right.
Especially on this podcast.
Steve
and Maul. Hurtling.
Hurtling from point A to point B.
Which is what we're doing. We're almost at point B.
Right.
So everything you're saying, I feel like everything could relate to the subject of anxiety, which I've fastened on. But us being us, we never would want to leave it in an episode anxiety. So coping, I think, is really the nicer thing that we've also gotten into. So I feel like what you were just saying about basically playing, having fun, being one thing. But, I mean, obviously that's not always going to be immediately available. Like, if you're really in a stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm groping towards here is the question, any words of wisdom for me, never mind the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're stressing out, anything you've discovered, I might have stuff that sort of helps get through that moment and, you know, not like completely blow a gasket.
I'm not...
Feel free to solve that problem.
I'm not that good at regulating myself in the moment. Like, I think I'm better than most people at regulating myself in the moment. I'm definitely not good at getting rid of those feelings when I'm feeling deeply under pressure. Sometimes you just have to go through it. Like,
right.
You know, you can't go around it, you can't go under it, you have to go through it.
Right.
And so you have to do the thing that's stressing you out. And that's the hard thing, is like being like, you're going to be deeply uncomfortable. And if you're neurodivergent, your brain might be like, no, you are not allowed to do this thing. Like, you just have to sit there and know you need to do it, and you just can't do it. That's kind of a normal thing for certain neurodivergencies.
So when you're saying, you know, being in a position where you can't go around it, you can't go, you know,
under it,
you have to go through it, reminds me of a thing that Facebook shared randomly to me the other day, but I really liked it. It was just a picture, and you could barely make it out. It was like snow, like completely snowy scene, and you look at it, and then you realize, partly from the caption discussion, that it's a, not a buffalo, what is that related animal? A bison.
A bison.
It's a bison, and it's like full facing the camera in like close up, its head and a little bit of its legs,
mm-hmm.
and it's completely snow covered,
mm-hmm.
and the caption discussion says, bison, you know, and it was like a National Geographic or something talking about, you know, bison are like really cool because they know that when there's like a really big snowstorm, they automatically head directly into it because they know that's the fastest way to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, I'm like channeling that image as you talk about, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe sometimes the best way through is to go through it.
Yeah.
So,
because there's coping, there's using things to ease the pain,
right.
But there's also like,
like you cocaine.
Might, well, you might still be in pain for a while.
Yeah.
And so action is always better, I think.
Yeah.
Whether that's action to like take steps to make yourself feel better or action to make other people feel better.
Yeah.
Which is what they say in AA. It's like service to others is the big thing.
Yeah. I have
so
this
it's like, yeah.
Counseling. Client who's a counselor who works a lot with groups and stuff and encourages people to, you know,
do service
help
to
other
others.
People. I think that's even a value of group therapy, you know, just to be with other people.
Just like whatever you can do for other people. And whether that's like talk to people and make them feel good about themselves or like, you know, make art that's important to you and silly and whatever, and therefore might make somebody else feel good.
These are
the little things that like you can do that are achievable for people because you're probably already doing them. And like, as long as you do them with intention and you think of it as a way that you're helping other people and helping yourself and healing the world, then it's like,
yeah,
you feel a little less hopeless and a little bit less like there's nothing you can do.
I think this is something that's particularly sad about people who are like toxically narcissistic and feel like the only way for them to you know, get joy, which they're probably never going to feel anyway, is to, you know, just completely do like only their thing and the hell with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They miss out on the very sort of joy producing phenomenon of like
collaboration.
Yeah.
Doggy dirt, dog like, versus collaboration.
Exactly. If you're, is this it?
Yes.
If you're a dog that just wants to eat dogs, then you're not going to have a healthy diet, and you're probably not going to have that many friends.
No. Not after a while, for sure.
Yeah, where is everybody? Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I ate Snoopy.
It's Snoopy.
Shouldn't have done that. Well, I think we got there in the end.
I think we will have some usable audio.
I think we will. It may be short, but it'll be something.
It'll be sweet.
Yeah, and it'll make people happy. And Janet, you just let us know.
And damn it, Janet, I love you.
Yeah.
Which is a Rocky Horror Picture Show reference.
Okay. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Okay.
Okay. Wow. All right. Good job. Oh, sorry.
God damn it.
Sign on?
Oh, no. We lost the whole... No, yeah. I love you. Get home safe.
Thank you. You too, even though it should be easy for you to get home from here.
Yeah, smooth sailing from here.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You got it. You got it.
All right. I love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Do you need me to stop the thing because you're wearing gloves?
Oh, no. I can take off the glove.
Whoa. You can do that the whole time?
He records. He talks. He takes off gloves.